Let me again bid you welcome, express appreciation for your being here. Again, we say it so often, but we say it sincerely, this is good, good to get together. As Rick said in the lesson, or the scripture reading this morning, it's an Old Testament story, but there's a New Testament lesson for us. We're going to talk about the recipe for restoration that was in this story in Nehemiah chapter 8. Now put in your notes a summary or the background for the story, and then why tell the story. If you look at the outlines in the bulletin, I hope you receive one. But in going through the outline and the review of the story, point number one, all the people gathered themselves together as one man. And then second, then Ezra the priest brought the law. That's important. He brought the law before the congregation. Number three, the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Number four, all the people answered, Amen. Amen. Then number five, cause them to understand the reading. Now, that's important. Then number six, they understood the words and made themselves booths or brush arbors, if you will. So let's go back, and by way of definition and introduction, if you're going to restore something, you're going to put it back to its original condition. Restore. If you're going to restore, you're going to make it like it was at the start. Yeah, restore. So we know from history, the southern kingdom of Judah was taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king. He made a 20-year siege on the city of Jerusalem from 606 to 586 B.C. And he took many of the people of Judah and Israel captive back to Babylon. And he held them captive for 70 years. After that, Babylon was taken captive by the Medes and the Persians. And it became known as the Persian Empire with Cyrus as its leader or king. Cyrus issues a decree to let the people that were taken away from Jerusalem to Babylon, made the decree to let them go back to Jerusalem. And some of those people that went back included Ezra, Nehemiah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Zerubbabel, and many, many others went back to Jerusalem. Thousands of Israelites from the captivity. In Ezra chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, you have the decree listed that Ezra made. It said you can return to rebuild the walls of the city, go back and rebuild the temple, and then set in order the keeping of the book of the law of Moses as was given by God. So on this occasion that we're reading about this morning in Nehemiah chapter 8, all the people gathered together and back in Jerusalem. The book of the law was read. And it was read by Ezra for several days. But when they were reading from the law, they were reading from a section of the law in Leviticus chapter 23, verses 35 through 44. And they discovered that when they were to observe the Feast of the Tabernacles, they were supposed to live in booths or brush arbors, as it were, for 7 days, from Sabbath to Sabbath, starting on the 15th day of the 7th month. And when they read that, along with the explanation that was given concerning the reading, they realized that living in booths was not being done. Wait a minute. Read that again. Oh, we're supposed to live in booths or brush arbors. Oh, and Ezra and the Levites explained that a little bit. We haven't been doing that. Read it again. So for 1,000 years, it hadn't been done. Verse 17 of the text. All the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths they sat under the booths. For since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. But now they're going to do it. And the last phrase of the verse says, there was great gladness. Yes, now we're going to restore something. Put back in place that which had not been observed. We're going to restore. Put it back into the original condition. And so from that day forward, they restored the practice of booths or brush arbors at the Feast of Tabernacles. So I put in your notes, why tell this story? Why tell this story in Nehemiah chapter 8? Well, a couple of reasons. Number one, in Romans 15 verse 4 says, the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. So there's something to be learned from this Old Testament story. In 1 Corinthians 10 verse 11, it says, now these things happened unto them for examples. They were written for our admonition. Ah, that's right. So there's something about this Old Testament story that we need to be admonished in. Well, that's number one, why we tell this Old Testament story. Number two, it's possible even today for religious people to neglect the command of God. That's possible. It's possible for religious people to leave something out that God's recorded, as they did in the Old Testament in Nehemiah 8. It's possible for us to live under the New Testament, to leave something out that's been written and needs to be started again. It needs to be restored. So when you read in the Bible in the New Testament, don't forsake the assembly. Ooh. I haven't been diligent in my attendance. I need to assemble. Or you read upon the first day of the week, the disciples gathered together to break bread. Oh, I don't know, I'm a religious person, but I don't assemble with the disciples to observe communion every first day of the week. I need to do that. Restore. Or need to be baptized. And baptism is an immersion in water. Didn't do it that way. I need to restore the Word of God or do what the Word of God says, like I said. So it's possible even today for religious people to neglect the command of God. We learned that from this story. Third, God's Word can be understood. It can. Now note, Israel had not forsaken living in booths because of a misunderstanding. We haven't forsaken those brush arbors because we misunderstood. Oh, no. They've forsaken booths because they forgot to read and study the Word of God. That's why they missed out for 1,000 years on doing something that God said to do. Not a misunderstanding. They didn't read the book. Now it's 1,000 years later. In verse 7 and 8, they read the book in the law of God distinctly, gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. So reading the law and giving the sense, they obeyed. They restored the practice. Speaking under the New Testament, the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 3 verse 4, when you read the Word of God. Paul said, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So we don't want to forget to read the book. Don't forget to read the Word of God. Then last, like Israel in this story, we need to have the desire to restore New Testament ways when the New Testament is read and we understand. When we read the New Testament, have the desire to see, oh, I haven't been doing that, then do it. Put it in the practice. So there's a reason why we tell this Old Testament story. And I'm going to have to tell it rather quickly, we tell it. That's why I give you the notes. So number one, these are the principles or the ingredients that brought about the restoration. Number one, in verse one, all the people gathered themselves together as one man. They were united in thought. They united as one. Especially about living in booths, in brush arbors. And we're instructed the same way. We need to be united religiously in our thought and practice. Jesus said it this way in John chapter 12, or John chapter 17 in his prayer. Neither pray I for these alone, meaning the apostles, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's us, 2,000 years later. We need to believe through the word. Then Jesus prayed that they all may be one. Be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Right. There's a desire religiously for us to be one, united in thought. That's what happened there. All the people gathered themselves as one. Together, what does the Word of God say? And we're all going to agree to follow it. That's what we're united in thought. Point number two. It's in verse 2. Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation. You see, the authority for having booths, the final say, was the law of God. One source. The Word of God. There wasn't any debate about what should be done in this story. They didn't appeal to majority rule. Well, we need to have brush arbors or booths at this feast. Yeah. They didn't result to human opinion. It wasn't, oh, what is our heartfelt idea? It wasn't, oh, well, one person says, well, I think this, and another one says, well, I think this over here. No. No one came up with and said, well, we haven't done booths or brush arbors for 1,000 years, so why should we do it now? I didn't say that. Jesus said in Matthew 15, verse 3, why do you transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? There might be 1,000-year-old tradition religiously. But Jesus said, you transgressed the word of God by your tradition. Verse 9, Jesus said in Matthew 15, in vain do you worship me because you're teaching for doctrine a commandment of man. See, there might be misunderstanding in religion because we haven't read the word of God. Ezra brought the law. And no matter what they've been doing for 1,000 years, they're saying we're going to change and restore and do what the law says, and we're going to observe that feast by living in a booth or a brush arbor or from Sabbath to Sabbath. That's what it is. A principle of restoration. Jesus said in John 8, verse 28, he that rejects me and receives not my words, the words of Jesus, as one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same will judge him in the last day. You're going to be judged by your tradition. You're not going to be judged by what your religious leader says. You're not going to be judged by what the committee voted on. You're not going to be judged by what the council says. Or any other religious group, you're going to be judged by the word of God. So when Ezra and Nehemiah gathered the people together, they brought the law. The law. And they agreed to abide by it. Number three. Verse three, he read therein, he read the law. Before the men and the women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Oh. Give the law attention. People might say to me, well, Brian, well, I've heard you read the Bible and I've heard you preach? I want to say, yes, I know that, but are you understanding the message from the Bible? I know you've heard me, but are you attentive to the book of the law? That's what will result in a restoration. The book of the law. Jesus said when he gives information to the angel, to the churches, to John, to the churches, in the Revelation chapter 2 and 3, to each of those seven congregations, he said, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." The inspired Word of God. Give that attention. More attention than you give to tradition. You could have been doing something wrong for 1,000 years. Or that religious group. Doing wrong for 1,000 years until you read the Word of God. And you know, oh, I didn't know that. Number 4, verses 5 and 6. So Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. Opened the book. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, "Amen. Amen." With lifted hands, bowed their heads, worship the Lord with their faces to the ground. In verse 9, the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Oh. Wow, that's the law, and I haven't been doing it that way. The law. That's right. That's the authority. And if I don't, what I think and what I do doesn't measure to the Word of God, then I'm the one that needs to change. Not the Word of God. I need to put my heart and my life and my mind in tune with God's Word. That's the principle of restoration. Number 4. That's what I just read. I've witnessed congregations who stand up for the reading of God's Word. And I've witnessed where a congregation will say amen. That's something good to do. These people stood up for hours. And the Word of God was read. Amazing. And they said amen. Now if you do that to me, I may forget where I am in my notes and have to start over from the beginning. You don't want to do that. Sometimes when I look down, I forget where I am and I say it out loud. Well, where was I? And usually there's some good brother that says you were on a conclusion. And I just started. Number 5, verse 7 and 8. The Levites, they caused the people to understand the law. And the people stood in their place. So they read in the book of God distinctly, gave the sense, and caused them to understand. As with many things, the one that understands is the one that speaks so that others may understand. And that's one purpose of preaching. Is to cause you to understand the reading of the Word. Jesus said to his disciples, in Luke 24, right before his ascension, that then he opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. And then he opened the Scriptures and gave them understanding from those verses of prophecy. So Jesus, the Master, teaches, and I want to give you understanding of what you've been reading. When Philip was with the Ethiopian, he joined himself to the chair and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" The Ethiopian said, "How can I? Without some guidance. I need help in understanding the message." Otherwise, we may go 1,000 years, not with necessarily misunderstanding, but I didn't know that was in the book. We want to study the book and give the understanding. And then the last one, number 6 and verse 12. People went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions to make mirth because they understood the words that were declared to them. In other words, they put into practice the things they heard. They obeyed the law. They were glad. In verse 15, they went out and got the branches, as the law said to do. In verse 16, it says the people went forth, they brought down the branches, and made themselves booths, every one. Right. And when they did that, which they had not been doing, there was an occasion of joy. Obeying the word of God should always be an occasion of joy. It should make us glad. Nehemiah 8, this story, is an example for us when reading or listening to God's word. The people restored that which had been forgotten for 1,000 years. And again, not because they misunderstood, but because they had not been reading the word of God. I didn't know that was there. So we ask you the question, what are you believing and what are you practicing that's not in accordance with the word of God? I don't answer out loud. But what are you believing and what are you practicing that's not in accordance with the word of God? What have you left out? What have you not done that's recorded in the New Testament? What have you not done that needs to be done? You answer me. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. The Word of God is profitable for correction. To change the direction you're going. And it's profitable for instruction in righteousness. To teach us what we should say and what we should do in presenting ourselves before God. That's the lesson in Nehemiah chapter 8. Always at the close of the lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation. It's a time provided for you to make right the wrong. To put in place what you haven't done. So we sing this song of encouragement, and if you need to respond in a public way, we ask you to come to the front and let that desire or that wish to be made known. We can accomplish it. Then to be baptized for remission of sins. Jesus said it himself in the Great Commission, Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Don't leave anybody out. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Can't misunderstand that. And everyone here has heard that before. But if you haven't done it, you need to do it. That's the lesson. The people in Nehemiah's day were glad. Oh, thank you for telling me that. For 1,000 years we haven't been doing it. Thank you for telling me that. I'm going to do it. And that's the response we want. Always. Let's stand together and sing the song of the difference. You need to respond in a public way if that's your desire. Please let it be known by coming forward and having a seat beside you this morning.